Christians. We've had people running out to see the movie, spend their money on it. And we don't even have an idea of if we should see the movie, if we shouldn't see the movie, what the big deal is about the movie. And the reason why we're struggling right now is because of education. We're at a low point in the country right now when it comes to Christian education. People know how to get educated on all types of things. Sports teams, popular music, fashion, whatever cultural events are going on. But we've forgotten how to be educated on the Word of God. And what's happening to Christians is we're reaping what we have sowed. We have not been serious about Christian education, at least for the last 40 to 50 years. And now this is the result. We have a movie that is blasphemous. Why is the movie blasphemous? Because when you change the Word of God, it is blasphemy. So don't even make a movie concerning the Bible. And if you do make a movie, be very careful not to change the Word. This movie is a disaster. And then you have popular Christian radio stations, and I'm not going to name names because I don't want to start any trouble, but 570 WMCA, when I'm riding in my car to work, I hear on the radio station, 570 WMCA, the official radio station of the Noah movie. And I wanted to throw up. I wanted to drive near their corporate office and, like, I don't know, throw a rock or something through the window just to get their attention. And the problem is, we haven't paid attention to Christian education for so long that this is the type of garbage we get. We are humanists, even in the church. We're something called egalitarian humanists. Now, what that means, it's a fancy word. You could say equalitarian also. It means everybody's equal regardless of what you do. So like we've said before, somebody comes to our Addictions Victorious meeting. One person has been clean for 10 years. They haven't touched crack cocaine. The other person comes in with a crack pipe high out of their mind. Give them both a celebration because you don't want to offend one of them. Cut a sobriety cake for the both of them because you don't want to leave anyone out. And we do the same thing in our society. If someone has recovered from a drug addiction, they now have three jobs to feed themselves and their family. Why should we give the same benefits to someone who is still trapped in drug addiction? That's egalitarianism. That's humanistic. You're worshiping people. Everyone gets the same regardless of what they do. How would you like to be treated that way? And we do that with everything. Everything has to be equal. All religions are equal. We can't say that Islam is a collection of writings from Muhammad. Now we're being told that you have to say it's the Word of God. It's the written Word of God. We're losing our minds. And this stupid movie is just one symptom of it. Why would you go to a movie that changes the basics of a biblical story? Because we're not educated. The country is biblically ignorant. They'll go see anything. And then you hear these silly arguments like, well, since the Noah movie came out, more people have been reading the Noah story and going back to the Bible. That's great. That's like saying we should all watch The Last Temptation of Christ, that disgusting movie, because it'll make people go back to the Gospels. Now, Darren Aronofsky, who... this is basically his movie, has been receiving a lot of criticism from Christians. And I say, why? He was raised a conservative Jew. Why would you go after him? Go after the radio stations, the Bible colleges, the pastors, and the theologians, and all these other crazy people that promote this stuff. As if it's a good thing, you're going to learn the Word of God from a movie. This blasphemous movie is going to change the world. Complete with rock people and battle scenes. And is this Gladiator? Am I watching Gladiator or a biblical story? But that's how far we have fallen. Now what we've been showing is all aspects of life to be governed by the Bible. First, it's your relationship with God, that you have a sovereign God, the right picture of the God who sovereignly and in His grace saved you. And then it's with yourself. No one can write a law that will make you govern yourself. Nobody. It comes down to the Holy Spirit creating a change in you. Once you're saved not to be lawless, you're saved to be faithful.
Amen.
Then the most important thing in your life, unless you remain single and there is no sin and not married. If you're a single Christian, no problem. We're not saying that if you're not married, you're sinning. But if you do get married, that is the most important decision you will make in your life. It's not color your hair, seeing what color your hair is going to be next week, or for the guys, what suits you're going to buy or what your job's going to be. It's that other person next to you for the rest of your life. We don't even have courtships anymore. We have no education on how to pick somebody to spend the rest of our lives with. We just throw our kids out there and see what happens. If they're good looking enough or fancy enough or have enough money, it seems like they're going somewhere. I love when people say, oh, you know, he's really going somewhere. Where is he going? Or where is she going? I just want to know. So if the relationship isn't based on biblical principles, you're headed for disaster. That's why the marriage rate is disgusting in the church just like it is outside of the church. There is no education. It's like throwing our kids to the wolves. So we went through our God, you as the individual, the marriage relationship, which is the foundation of society, and now it's the children and education. You can do everything you want to do in this country. You could have fancy prayer meetings. You could spend all the money you want on these Christian productions. And let's make a knife movie about the being left behind. Let's discourage people even more. The world's going to end tomorrow. Don't give witness. The Antichrist has you. We're going to be tattooed on our foreheads and our rear ends any minute. Don't do anything. Don't have kids. Don't build a Christian culture. It's all hopeless. This isn't what the Lord said. He said His church would be built and the gates of hell would not stand against it. We're not defensive. We are not the gates. We are storming the gates.
Amen.
That's the real action movie. Is that we're tearing down strongholds. Christianity is winning.
Amen.
That's the it's winning, and they're scared to death, and that's why they produce this garbage. Because they're scared. They're trying to slow it down. You had thousands of Chinese stand in front of their church that they were not going to let the government bulldoze. Did you hear about that on CNN or on Fox News? They call it the Little Jerusalem in China. It's a beautiful church that they built to worship. The government minister said, we're going to tear this thing down. We're going to bulldoze it. You know who was defending the church? Christian women and disabled elderly Christian women went inside the church with their canes and their walkers and sat in the church ready to be bulldozed. Before they let them smash that church. And our biggest debate here is, should I see the Noah movie? Should I not see the Noah movie? Should I throw $15 at a godless industry to watch that godless movie? Try and start a Christian school, you can't get $5. $44 million. Like that, spent on that godless movie within the first week. I think it was the opening day. Now what we like to do, because this is a problem in the church, and this is what humanism does, this is what this liberal attitude does, nothing is your fault. Everything is someone else's fault. You're not a miserable person because of you. You're miserable because where you were born, the color of your skin, what your parents said to you, people wounding your inner child, not affirming you enough. That is the religion of slavery. Feeling bad for yourself, feeling guilty, is the religion of slavery. If you want to break the chains, look to Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus will break the chains for you. No one is trapped, even if you're in chains. That's why Paul, when he was in chains, was still conquering the world through the gospel.
Amen.
And people feel because they were born at the wrong time or in the wrong place that they're trapped. So this is theonomy versus the Noah movie. Now why use a word like theonomy? Because people throw out 3/4 of their Bible because it's not the red letters of Jesus. As if part of the Bible can be left behind. And instead of spending all your time in the Word is so deep, you could study it your entire life, you're just scratching the surface. Instead of spending your time in the Word and setting yourself free, and your children free, and your family free, we'll sit for 2 hours in a garbage movie. If you have no education, you have nothing. Nothing's going to help. The most important person in the world is the one that educates the children. Whether it's a homeschooling mom, whether it's a Christian teacher at school. What you put into somebody is what you're going to get out. You will reap what you sow. And Christians turn around, and they're Christians for 30, 40, 50 years, but they didn't have a pastor or an elder or anybody faithful enough to tell them you need to educate your Christians with your children in a Christian worldview, and you turn around and you say, everything I've done for this kid, they have no respect or love for God. Because the foundation wasn't built on Christ, it was built on sand. Why would anyone hand an unbeliever their children to teach them? But that's what we've done. And many of our children are saved despite what they go through in school, because God is sovereign, and He does love us, and He does love our children. But why does it have to be so desperate? Why does it have to be that way? Now this is what Christians do. They jump all over Darren Aronofsky, and I'm going to give you a little background, and I'm going to show you that Darren Aronofsky in this Noah movie, and what he was taught as a child, and what much of the conservative Jewish movement has become, that's what evangelicals are becoming. You're criticizing yourself when you criticize him, as if he should know better, or his group in Hollywood should know better. We should know better.
Amen.
We have our principles wrong. And that's point number one in the sermon. Christians are criticizing Darren Aronofsky over the Noah movie while they send their children to satanic schools. Public schools are turning our children into the people we are protesting against. Egalitarian humanism is thoroughly satanic in its orientation. Do you know what the first law of Satanism is? If you open up a satanic Bible, do you know what the first rule is? Do as thou wilt. Do what you want. That's the whole law. If it feels good, if it's right for you, do it, baby. Like a Nike commercial. Just do it. That's all Satanism is. It's nothing complicated. The same thing our first parents learned in the garden. Do what you want. God's afraid. He knows that once you take control, He's afraid you'll be God yourself. So do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. That's Satanism. No rules, no regulations. As long as you're not hurting anybody else, you can do whatever you want. That's the satanic Bible. Don't believe me? Do your own research. That's all Anton LaVey pushed. Gee, I wonder why Hollywood loved it. Why so many famous Hollywood stars were taken right in by the Church of Satan. The story of conservative Judaism is becoming the storyline for Christian evangelicalism. All of the appeasement with the culture, we are melting down and we want to point the finger at everyone else. So let's look at a piece of an article. I got this off Wikipedia. This is about Mr. Aronofsky, his early life and education. Aronofsky was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1969. The son of public school teachers, Charlotte and Abraham Aronofsky, who are conservative Jews. He grew up in the borough's Manhattan Beach neighborhood. When I was raised culturally Jewish, but there was very little spiritual attendance in temple. It was a cultural thing. Celebrating the holidays, knowing where you came from, knowing your history, having respect for what your people have been through. This is modern Christianity, ain't it? This is modern Christianity. That's all it is. I'm Christian in name, so I want my kids to be Christian in name. It might make them behave a little better, so that's what we want. Nothing deeply spiritual involved. Nothing about Christ, honoring Christ involved. We want to say Merry Christmas on Christmas, but we don't care whether we go to church the rest of the year or whether people read their Bible or not. I can't wait till we're not allowed to say Merry Christmas anymore. It's such hypocrisy. He graduated from Edward R. Murrow High School. So he's one of our own. He's right from the borough, came locally from the borough.
My school.
There you go. He has one sister, Patty, who attended a professional ballet school through high school. His parents would often take him to Broadway theater performances, which sparked his keen interest in show business. During his youth, he trained as a field biologist with the School for Field Studies in Kenya in 1985 and Alaska in 1986. He attended school in Kenya to pursue an interest in learning about ungulates. He later said, quote, "The School for Field Studies changed the way I perceived the world. Aronofsky's interest in the outdoors led him to backpack his way through Europe and the Middle East. In 1987, he entered Harvard University, where he majored in social anthropology and studied filmmaking. He graduated in 1991. He became seriously interested in film while attending Harvard after befriending Dan Strecker, an aspiring animator. His other cinematic influences include Akira Kurosawa, Roman Polanski, Terry Gilliam, Shinya Tsukamoto, Bill Cosby, Hubert Shelby Jr., Spike Lee, and Jim Jarmusch. Anyway, the point is this. He came from a, quote, Jewish background, but it really wasn't that Jewish. It wasn't based on the Old Testament. He learned his identity. He learned how to identify as a Jew in name only, but he really wasn't that Jewish. Things weren't brought out to him from the Word. Now, reading from his background, the man's no slouch. But this is the point. This is exactly what Christians are doing today. Even Christians that send their kids to, quote, Christian schools, are worshiping what the child can do out in the culture in a Greek type of way. What can they accomplish? You shouldn't care if your child's a ballet dancer, if they're a brilliant debater. Who cares if they're famous in film and this or that? The point is, let them be people that have built their life upon the foundation of all things, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We've all become humanists. Now, what about Aronofsky? What about this conservative Judaism? Well, I have another article, which is the last article I will read. And the point I'm reading it is, it comes from a Jewish perspective. This is by Micah Gottlieb. And the title is, How Conservative Judaism Lost Me. The reason I drifted away, I wasn't wanted. Now, what you're seeing here, what's happening with this gentleman, is what's happening in the church. If you actually want to be serious about the Christian faith in the church nowadays, you're going to be challenged. If you actually tell people they need to read the whole Bible, not just parts of the Bible, they're going to be challenged. If you love them enough to say, look, I'm telling you how to escape disaster. You need to build your life on Christ. You need to teach your children about Christ and give them the whole Bible. Why do we have to wait till people are burnt out by the culture to then try and save them? Why? Why do we have to wait till the influence of the outside world in the school system has turned them into sexual deviants or drug addicts or atheists or whatever else, and then we got to save them? Do they have to be tortured at first before you decide to give them a Christian worldview? So we need to build a foundation. Now what's happening in conservative Judaism is the same thing that's happening in our church right now, because we've done what they have done. Now this is the article, and he explains, one of the most striking findings in the recent Pew Research Center survey on Jews in America is the massive decline of conservative Judaism. While 43% of American Jews affiliated as conservative Jews in 1990, just 18% do so today. This is causing much soul-searching in the conservative movement. The reasons for this decline are surely complex. They're not. But I believe that one factor is the failure of the conservative movement to nurture young leaders from its ranks. Sound familiar? Where are the kids? Where are the kids in most churches? Where are the kids? I would like to relate my own experience in the hope that this will contribute to the conversation about how to renew conservative Judaism. I was raised in a very committed conservative home in Montreal. My grandfather had joined the local conservative synagogue as a founding member in the 1950s, and my mother and her siblings grew up there. My father, a British doctoral student at McGill University, became the synagogue youth director in 1968, and there he met my mother on Shemini Esaret. My mother's two sisters both married conservative rabbis, so I grew up with two conservative rabbis as uncles. My family observed the Sabbath. Each week we had Sabbath meals, walked the synagogue, and did not drive. We kept kosher at home, and outside we ate only vegetarian food. We celebrated all the holidays. I was very active at my parents' synagogue and proudly identified as a conservative Jew. I went to Jewish schools through the end of high school and attended Camp Ramah. After graduating high school, I spent a year at Hebrew University where I focused on academic Jewish studies. I later earned a doctorate in German and Jewish philosophy at Indiana University, and now I teach at New York University. By all rights, I should be a conservative Jew. Yet if the Pew pollster had called me, I would not have identified it as one. What happened? As a youth, I had internalized what I understood to be conservative Jewish values by being very committed to halakha and Jewish learning. But I found that my family was one of the very few in my synagogue that valued these things. While the pews overflowed on the high holy days, they were sparsely filled on a typical Sabbath, and almost no children attended. Sound familiar? Right? Christmas and Easter, everybody's there, everybody's a Christian all of a sudden. New suits, new dresses, flowers, the whole nine yards. As soon as the holiday's over, you can't find anybody. My family rarely went out for Sabbath meals, as few families at the synagogue prepared them. Before my bar mitzvah, I was very involved in the synagogue service. I led the end of the Sabbath morning, davening, each week, attending morning minyan, and read the Megillah on Purim. But after my bar mitzvah, as I sought to study more Torah, I found few outlets at my synagogue. So at the suggestion of a friend who was also raised conservative, I began studying Talmud at a local ultra-Orthodox college. As my graduation neared, I approached my conservative rabbi for advice about studying at a yeshiva after high school. At the time, there was no conservative yeshiva, and he recommended I attend an Orthodox one in Israel. I was told that conservative Jews were serious in their commitment to halakha as Orthodox Jews were, but they differed in that they recognized halakha change. But as I knew, no conservative Jews who cared about halakha, my teenage sensitivity to inconsistency led me to see conservative Judaism as inauthentic. Now, the bottom line is this. I felt that conservative Judaism was distracted by what I saw as political rather than religious issues. The burning issue of the day in the conservative movement was egalitarianism and the ordination of women. My synagogue was not egalitarian, although women could be called to the Torah on special occasions. The argument was made that egalitarianism was crucial for keeping Jews affiliated. So this is the point. If you really wanted to act like a Jew and really study the Torah and try to learn the word, you weren't as welcome as someone who was just there for political issues and making everything equal. Sound familiar? How many churches you go to, you try and attend the service, it sounds like a rally for the Republican Party. How many churches you go to, you want to listen to something from the Word, it sounds like a rally for the Democratic Party, especially in New York. I go to church and want to see someone expound the Bible. I don't want to hear about what Al Sharpton's doing. No offense, or what Jesse Jackson's doing. So do you have to be a Democrat to be a faithful Christian? Do you have to be a Republican to be a faithful Christian? Is that what the faith has become? So if I didn't vote for Bush twice and for his daddy, I'm not allowed in a conservative Christian church? If I'm not going to jump on board with Romney or one of these other guys? So this is what's happening. We've gone away from the Word and from the spiritual and basic biblical lessons, and we've gone into the political. We've given away our children. We have a mess that we really need to work on. We're giving away our children. You know what the number one question should be for a congregation before you have a pastor become your pastor? Not how many years of schooling does he have, how many people does he think he could draw in. You know what the litmus test really should be? Do you send your kids to public school? Not for everyone in the congregation, but for someone who claims to be able to lead you spiritually from the Word. Is he teaching you the Word every Sunday, taking your money, and then sending his kids to a public school that's going to teach them nothing about God? Where they might be let out of the classroom if they mention Jesus. Is that really the courageous leader you're supposed to have? I don't care if these things are popular or not. The gospel is never popular. I could care less. I have family that's involved with the public school system. Does that mean I'm supposed to change the way I speak about it? Now, if you're a teacher and you're in the public school system, get yourself in trouble. Show the kids who Jesus is. There's no sin in being there, but there is a sin in not saying anything when you have the opportunity. But don't send your kids there. Am I making this up? Point number two. The foundation of the Christian faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the, quote, Word of God, which educates men on how they may be saved. God's people have always been an educated people when at their best. Our goal is to think, quote, God's thoughts after Him and apply the Bible to all of life. Did I say anything wrong? What does Hosea say? People love to quote that. Everybody knows it because politicians even quote it. My people perish for lack of knowledge. How do we know that? What type of knowledge? How to cook? How to change the oil in your car? How to upload something to YouTube? What knowledge? How to be a good Republican? A good Democrat? What knowledge? Biblical knowledge. How to run your life. How to honor God. That's the knowledge. You want to be unpopular. You want to get in trouble as a Christian. You want to be radical for the Lord. Love people. Tell them the truth. Love them enough to give them the right diagnosis, the same way a doctor does when you walk into his office. You go into the doctor's office, no doctor wants to tell a patient that they've known for years that they have cancer. But if they want to help save their life, they have to tell them. It's going to make you angry, you're going to be annoyed, you're going to be distraught, you're going to go home and feel trouble. But if you listen to them, you have a chance at survival. It's something we have to do. We can't hide anymore. You keep hiding, you're going to wind up like Jews and Christians in Nazi Germany. You're going to wind up in a camp saying, why didn't we act up sooner? Why didn't we speak up sooner? There are homeschooling families that get in big trouble in Germany right now. Why? Why do homeschooling families get in trouble in Germany? Because Hitler knew the key to taking over his country and Europe to make them godless was through education. So homeschooling is banned in Germany. It's still on the books from the time of the Nazis. If you want to homeschool in Germany, you're going to get arrested. So if the devil's not stupid and knows how to get the children, we need to be educated also. We are sending our children to satanic institutions. We need to recover Christian education. This is not the 1950s anymore, or even the 1960s. You have children being told by their teacher, Jesus is not real, God is not real, stop praying. You have them being sent to school, psychologists being told that they have a mental disorder because they're praying to nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 6, page 152 in your Bibles. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Now we talk about Jesus being the foundation of the Christian faith. He is the Word of God. We ought to be educated in godly things. When the Jews asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, how can we be saved? What did he tell them? Repent, believe, and be baptized. He was educating them on how they can come to faith and honor Messiah. It's all about the Word. It's all about being educated. It's all about reading. You are drawn to God and saved by God by grace, but He does it through His Word. We have a special revelation. Now I want to ask you if this sounds familiar. Now this is why we wanted to use the word theonomy in this sermon series. Because people get freaked out by it. And some of the case laws in the Old Testament, you're lost without it. You need the whole Bible. So this is what's told to the children of Israel. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it might be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, is it just about fearing God? Is it just an empty faith? No. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Does this sound familiar? Didn't Jesus say something like this? Can't be. He never went to the Old Testament. Jesus is New Testament. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Now remember, when we're successful, when the church is successful, when we're eating, when things are going well, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him at Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, that cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Don't send them to the Noah movie. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Amen, 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 and amen. God gives you the blueprint. Here's my word, here's the book. You listen to it and read it, and then give it to your kids to listen to and read it. We don't want to do this. It's too much of an effort. So we'll spend hundreds of billions of dollars on sending our kids to godless private schools. We'll spend billions of dollars on therapy, on drugs, on different techniques. Look at what's happening in the streets because children have not been given a Christian education. Some of the worst neighborhoods in New York City, in Brooklyn, there's a church on every corner. And that's why I ask these people, what in the world are you teaching in there? You gotta roll up your windows and drive through really fast and pray to God bullets don't come through the car. As you see four different churches on every corner of that street. What are they doing? What are you teaching? Do you love your flock? Do you love their children? Or is every week seven steps to get more money, more money, more money? Seven and a half steps to a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful marriage. If I want self-help, I go to the best guy there is, Tony Robbins. I don't need Joel Osteen. Seven principles to improve your life now.
We live life.
Are you kidding me? We're dying. We're losing our privileges that God gave us as Christian people. And he wants to talk to you about how to get more bonuses at work. So this is what God wants. Plain and simple. Think his thoughts after him. Teach your children the same. It's not complicated. Why do I know? I wasn't in a Christian school. But I went to a church where my pastor cared enough to say, look, when you have kids, give them a break. Be faithful. Homeschool or send them to a Christian school. Make all the arrangements you have to make. Do what you can, because that's the main part of the faith. You see, we don't just abort our kids when we murder them physically. You also challenge them in school. Some of my most depressing times in my entire life was when I was in public school. Because in public school, if you do well academically, you're worshipped. You're worshipped. I always went to special schools. I was always at the top of my class in any type of test you gave me. When I was in seventh grade, I was doing science that I didn't encounter again until I was in college. But what did that do? I had friends who were scoring tops in the city on their SAT scores and all these different tests. And who was addicted to drugs? Who was beating up girls? We had one guy, he was the smartest guy in the school. Every day when he went home from school, he beat the living daylights out of his mother. But nobody cared, no one questioned it. Oh, he's a smart kid, he's going somewhere. Like I ask again, where is he going? What does that mean? Is it really just money? If it was really just about money, would we have so many bankers killing themselves and their families and jumping off of roofs? If it was really just about money. And I don't judge these people. I'm not jealous of their money. Use it in a godly way. I don't care. Be a banker. Do your thing. Be a Christian banker. Focus on the Lord. When you hit that glass ceiling because you refuse to be corrupt, take the lowest salary. Don't sell out and take the jump. So go out there in society, but behave like a Christian. And this is the last point. People cry and they pray and they scream, revival, revival. And then they create these false revivals. Where everybody's just jumping like a maniac and you get them to sign the prayer cards. And then you print out how many people signed the prayer card. Look, we had this many people saved this week. And nothing changes. And many of them never even set foot in a church after going to that wonderful revival or tent revival. Why? Revival and reformation will not come to America while Christians destroy their children via public school. You can fast, pray, hold meetings, and blitz the cities with Bibles. God will not revive humanism. God will not share his glory with another. He won't. Turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Timothy, who was Paul's spiritual son in the faith, not because he had money, because he was flashy, because he could speak well. Timothy wasn't very intimidating, that Paul had to encourage him. He was a soft kind of guy. But he had the word and he loved the people. But what does Paul say about Timothy? This is page 879. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was filled with the faith. He was raised in the faith. Now, do we feel that women are useless? Because we profess what the Bible says, that only a man should be a pastor, does this mean that the women are useless? What does God say in His Word? Ladies, if your men don't want to lead, if they're deadbeats, take charge. I will honor you. We had a grandmother and a mother, two females, that helped raise one of the greatest men of God in the history of the world, Timothy. And how did they do it? They educated him at home. Whatever, even if you got your kids in the public school, and right now it's impossible to pull them out, you make sure that before you put the cartoons on, or the video games, or the other stuff, you are deprogramming them from that crap that they're learning in school, and that they're learning the word at home.
Amen.
Ladies, if the men ain't going to do it, you got to do it. You got to do it. God allows you to bring the word to society equally. You are not second-class citizens. The only position that is held from you is that of elder or pastor. You know why? Because when we're really living the faith, the pastor, the elder, we catch beatings. We get killed. We get dragged out and put on crosses ourselves. God doesn't want that for you. He lets the men hold that down. But that doesn't mean you're inferior or not equal. Read your word. Your husband don't want to do it, you do it. You're the grandmother. Grandpa's retired already in his mind. He's already gone. His mind is in Florida somewhere. Doesn't want to teach the kids the word. Just wants to give them money on their birthdays. Not discuss the word with them. Grandma, you do it. And if you ever feel like you're not able to do it, look at Timothy. What were they teaching Timothy? We say, hey, Timothy. What did they say, hey, Timothy, look at the Gospel of Matthew. We want you to be a New Testament Christian. All they had was the Old Testament, the Jewish Scriptures. But it was enough to bring him to a realization that Messiah is coming, that you will have redemption. So ladies, get busy. We know that men are out to lunch right now. We know that. We know that they know everybody on the baseball team, the basketball team, the football team, the hockey team. Who's wrestling on Monday Night Raw? Who's in the next boxing match? What Mayweather's record is? Who's the heavyweight champ, the middleweight champ, the cruiserweight champ? How guys are today? Who's the MMA champ right now? Lightweight, heavyweight, this and that. Men know everything nowadays but the Bible. And that's in the church. That's in the church. Now skip forward to chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. What does Paul say about the word? Remember, if you love God's law, you want to study the whole word, you want to grow as a Christian, okay, I'm saved. Now what do I do? And I want to learn. What should I do with my money? What should I do with my relationship? What should I do in certain situations? The Bible gives advice on everything, perfect advice. Now, if you try and approach the word that way, you're called a legalist. You're called a crazy person. Well, what does Paul say to Timothy about the whole Bible? New Testament Christians. There was an Old Testament that set you up to be a New Testament Christian. And this is what's said, chapter 3, verses 10 through 16. These are not my words. Paul speaks to Timothy. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. All that from a child thou hast known the whole, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, another dirty word, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
All scripture. What scripture was Timothy learning? Not from his daddy, not from his grandpappy, from his grandmother, from his mother, from the women. The women were faithful. Where were they teaching him from? Colossians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians? How about the book of the law? How about the Torah? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all this stuff we don't want to read anymore because we're so smart. Something comes after being saved. You sanctify yourself through the Word. All of us complain today. How many people feel that taxes just aren't low enough? They need to be raised a little more. How many of you would like to be taxed more on your clothes, would like to pay more property taxes, would like more to come out of your pension check, and these other things? Do you know the reason why taxes were so low at one time in this country? Because it was based on biblical principles. If God only asks for basically 10%, the government better not ask for more than 10%. That's theonomy. Come alive. Biblical law applied. If God Almighty doesn't ask for more than 10% of my income, the government better not ask for more than 10%. So is it correct today that we're taxed on clothes and cigarettes and drinks and this and that, and whatever else you buy, and stamps, and your shoes, and your hat, and your underwear, and your pension, and the state taxes, and city taxes, and federal taxes, and taxes upon taxes? But we've done this to ourselves, because we've left the Word, and now we're hopeless, until we return to the Word. Does this mean we should have a tax revolt? Of course not. Rome was one of the most oppressive empires in history when it came to taxing the people. And what did Jesus say? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and unto God that which is God's. So let's not be stupid, like other pastors that rest with the scriptures and cause destruction for their people. You pay your taxes. We made our bed, we lie in it. I get taxed for that too. I'm going to pay every penny I owe and skimp on nothing. I would never cheat on my taxes. Because my God is watching me, regardless of what I think of the government or what they're doing with the money. But you are paying for not knowing the scriptures. You are paying for not reading your whole Bible, your entire Bible. So we have our relationship with God. Our relationship with God as an individual. And once we are married, if we become married, whether you can have children in a natural way, whether you adopt them, it doesn't matter. You got to raise them a certain way. Raise them in the Word. Do not let psychopaths and freaks educate your children and then expect them once they get out of school to respect you and honor you and have good things in their heart. And it's not going to happen. I can't even tell you the things I learned in school because we have kids here right now. Things that were said to me by teachers. How many times do we have to see teachers sleeping with their students? How many times do we have to see courses approved in school on pornography? How many times do we have to see books come out like, whatever, Heather has two mommies or two daddies or whatever it is, and now it's getting worse? How many times before we start doing our best to get the kids out? You gotta get them out. Why do we have to save people after they're ruined? Why do we have to spend billions on people after they're ruined? Take all your money that you're spending on evangelism and all these fancy things you're doing, and your Christian movies and your Christian this and your Christian that, and build a school next to your church. Or turn part of your church into a school. That's the message. We shouldn't care what we do in this place until we have people being educated in a Christian way. It's lost. How many people here are Christians for years? You're having trouble with your children right now. Not because of you. You didn't do anything wrong. Many people were just never told to be a Christian means a Christian education. Don't set yourself up for heartache later on and have to fight against your kids because of everything they learned in the public school. And I don't blame the older generation because when you were going to school, people were still praying. The commandment, Ten Commandments, could still be displayed. Even if you were doing the wrong thing, you still know it was wrong. But today it's totally different. It's at a point of no return. Your children are being taught that doing the wrong thing is right, and doing the right thing is wrong. We've done exactly what Isaiah talks about. Woe unto a people that substitutes good for evil and evil for good. And we are trapped in equalitarianism or egalitarianism. Everything is equal. If you have relationships, a man and a woman is the same as a woman and a woman, a man and a man and a dog, a woman and a bird, it doesn't matter. This is what we're getting to. That's what it is. Everything has to be equal. All religions are equal. We can't just have Christian holidays and some Jewish holidays anymore. We need Muslim ones. We need Wiccan holidays. We need Hindu holidays. Holidays upon holidays. Until we give the kids every day off for every religion, they don't go to school anymore. Something has to give. You can't build a country on 50 different religions. The Christian faith made this country safe for everybody. Because the true Christian faith doesn't want forced conversions. It lets people have their religion. As long as they pay homage to the Christian religion in the public square. Because that's the way things run. You don't think there's a difference in religions? Try to leave this country and go to Saudi Arabia with your Bible and start talking about Jesus. See what happens to you. Muslim soldiers here can pray. They can read the Quran. When our soldiers were in Saudi Arabia, even around Christmas, you better not say Merry Christmas. You better not take a Bible out. So what we're going to do, we're going to make everything equal until we're destroyed. Or until we grow up. There is no choice. My God is not the God of the Quran. My God is not the God of the Buddhists. My God is not the God of the atheists. My God is not the God of rabbinical Judaism. My God is the Father of my Lord and Savior, the Mashiach, the Holy One of God, the Anointed One who saves us, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
There's no compromise. Teach your children that at home. We're at high noon. The showdown has already started, so it's time to wake up. Well, every one of us will be singing hymns in a prison camp somewhere, eating stale sandwiches and drinking water. Trust me, it's already underway. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, we ask you, Lord, that you give us the courage, Lord, to recover your word, to stand up for Jesus Christ, the beauty of the Bible, The principles of this country, although far from perfect, gave people a chance to make a better life, regardless of their religion or their worldviews, which they came with from other countries. But once they came here, they had to assimilate the Christian principles. Biblical principles is what gives us the freedom we have now. And as we lose them, we will all lose our rights. As people continue to worship man and worship themselves and substitute evil for good and good for evil, we pray, dear God, that the fire will continue to be lit. All of us, especially myself, are responsible for what's happened in this country and what's happened in the church. I repent, Lord, myself, for how many years I lived like there was no real battle going on, and I wasn't in my word, and I wasn't loving you with all my mind, heart, soul, and strength, and I wasn't honoring your son. We pray, dear God, for forgiveness. We pray that you give us wisdom and strength, and we ask you, Lord, that we would always have love in this church. Love each other enough to tell the truth based on your word. We love you, dear God, in the name of your son, our only king, not Caesar, not Buddha, not Muhammad, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.